Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and dear members as well. You can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I do want to begin this broadcast by mentioning something that has to do with Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis, who over the years have decried the notion that I don't hold to the young earth creationist perspective, a perspective that views the earth and the universe as being somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 years old. Here's a quote from Ken Ham, who says, "Hanegraaff's problem is his unwillingness to understand Genesis in its most natural form as a historical narrative." Now, I'd like to say on this broadcast today that that is far from true. I firmly believe that Genesis is a historical narrative. Of course, it's much, much more than that. I've said this many times, but Moses, with inspired brilliance, interlaces a historical narrative with both symbolism and repetitive poetic structure. He as well employs the powerful elements of story, all of which are necessary to set the foundation for the rest of redemptive revelation. And I typically like to note three points in this regard. The first is that Genesis opens with a literary mnemonic, a memory aid by which we're daily reminded of God's creative prowess. The first 6 days, they of course outline a hierarchy of creation culminating in humanity as its crowning jewel. And then on the seventh day, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rests. And as such, the history of creation is remembered and recalled through its association with the continuous seven-day cycle of life. A second point. Genesis is structured in such a way that it may be remembered using our 10 fingers. So with one hand, we recall primeval history. You'll recall the accounts of heaven and earth, Adam, Noah, Noah's sons, and Shem. Shem, of course, the father of the ancient Near East. With the other hand, we remember the accounts of Terah, the father of Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, and Jacob, who is called Israel. Now, we ought to note, thirdly, that post-Gutenberg, or after the printing press, were primarily people of the printed page, but that wasn't the case with the ancients. In their predominantly oral culture, people practiced the principles of memory. And as such, Genesis contains many Hebrew symmetries and parallelisms and sevenfold patterns. From its seven-day opening through its tenfold pattern, Genesis serves as a unified and memorable prologue to the whole of redemptive history. Also, with respect to the Ham hypothesis that the universe is somewhere in the vicinity of 6,000 years old, let me say this. The book of Genesis is not designed to tell you and I how old the universe is. Rather, it's designed, and I think that's quite obvious, to communicate God's purposes in creation. And thus, if you want to know how old the universe is, you're far better served to take a closer look at God's other book. Of course, I'm talking about the book of nature. And I say this because the book of nature provides a veritable host of clues respecting the age of the universe, and there are three that I typically like to bring to everybody's mind, the first of which is the fact that nothing travels faster than the speed of light and that billions of light years separate us from distant galaxies, a fact which leads logically to the assumption that the age of the universe is measured in billions rather than thousands of years. The second point is star life, and I've alliterated this to make it easy to remember, speed of light and then star life, which is also a persuasive argument for a universe measured in billions of years. So here's the argument. A star like the sun, that's just one example, has enough fuel to burn for an estimated 9 billions of years. And as such, the universe is presumed to be at least that old. So while biological history may be a matter of inference, astronomical history is a function of direct observation. And here's an example. You've probably heard me use this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast before, but I think it's good to get into your memory trace. It's an example from an astronomical event, an observable event, known as Supernova 1987A. This is an event with an identifiable before and an identifiable after. So prior to 1987, this supernova was a star in a distant galaxy 168,000 light years away. In 1987, the star explodes and becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches Earth. Unless, of course, God created the universe with merely the appearance of age. And if that were the case, the supernova might well be likened to a documentary film of an event that really never happened. A third point is sequential layers. So you have the speed of light, you have star life, and then sequential layers. And I'm talking about layers in the formation of ice cores in places such as Antarctica, which point to an Earth much older than 6,000 years. And just as arborists count tree rings to establish the age of trees, researchers count sequential layers to date the age of ice cores. And this data log seems to demonstrate that the age of the Earth is at least hundreds of times older than the age presumed by the followers of Ken Ham. Now, this is not to say that I, in any form or fashion whatsoever, hold to the biological theory of evolution. And nor is a universe that is even 10 to 20 billion years old sufficient for the evolution of a protein molecule, much less a living cell. Indeed, we can be absolutely certain that the evolutionary hypothesis is a myth. It's a fairy tale for grown-ups. It's a hoax. And it's an astonishingly weak hypothesis. You only need think of the fossil record. No verifiable transitions, no verifiable transitions from one kind to another have as yet been found. And despite the abundance of fossil available to paleontologists, you still don't have these transitional forms. And while I would fight for a person's right to believe in science fiction, I I firmly resist evolving attempts on the part of modern evolutionists to equate macroevolution with such scientific certainties as the law of gravity. So no one should take this in any way, this meaning the notion of a 6,000-year universe, which I deny, they shouldn't take this in any way to suppose that I believe in biological evolution. I don't. I've read many resources on this subject, including a flip chart called Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, which you can find on the web at equip.org. Also, a book titled The Farce of Evolution and many other resources you can find at equip.org. Do you remember again how grateful I am for all of you who continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth? I refuse to ever become politically correct. I want to tell you truth as it is. And I've done that as long as I've been on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that's well over 3 decades. We'll be right back with Answers 888 Ask Hank.
Although Christians are inheritors of true, glorious, literal immortality, often they take little comfort in it. Why? Few Christians have a robust view of the glory that awaits them forever. Clay Jones wrote Immortal to remind Christians to keep their focus on forever. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The 2nd century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers for our own time. His reliance on the Church's apostolic canon, creed, and clergy shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualist approach to Christianity. Other topics include the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, faithful living through COVID-19, winning the fight for religious freedom, the beauty of worship, aesthetics, and truth, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, atheism and the burden of proof, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip followers of Christ to think and live Christianly. That entails knowing that our lives don't end at death and that we should live joyfully yet soberly in light of eternity, making Clay Jones's book Immortal crucially relevant. In Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, Dr. Jones speaks of the glory that awaits us, not only in the intermediate state of life after death, but in our life after death, in the resurrection to eternal life, when Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. To receive your copy of Immortal, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, Luda First in Vancouver, British Columbia, or Vancouver, Washington, sorry, listening on the web. Hi, Luda.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's such a privilege to be able to talk to you, and I've been actually trying to get some answers questions answered for a while, but I've been struggling. I'll try not to cry, but about 2 years ago, something happened to me, and I don't know what it was. And the only thing that I keep coming to is either I'm Christ or I'm not. And I'm stuck in between. I don't know what to do. And I came across a verse in 2 Thessalonians, and it talks about having a delusion, that God will give them delusions. And whatever I experienced, I could say it was a delusion. I don't know, because I literally felt like I was in a trance. And my mind was being attacked. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how. I couldn't sleep for a week. And I finally, I felt like I was being judged. Like, I felt like God was, or something was bringing me back to all these memories, these things from my past, and what happened with all my sins. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I couldn't sleep. And it was, tormenting me. And so I'm a mom of three and a wife of a husband that he didn't know what to do. But I came to Christ. I truly believe in Christ, and I know who he is. I know that he lives, and I know that he will come again someday. And right now I just don't know what to do from here. Like, I'm battling every day, my thoughts, my mind. And I'm a different person. I struggle with dreams, and I struggle with thoughts that I've never had before, and struggles, and sinful struggles that I have never, ever experienced. And before I went through this whole delusion thing, I'll just briefly kind of say, I was going through a really stressful time in my life, and I guess going through a family feud situation, and I was hurt very badly, and I just at some point just kept crying, and just I came to my parents and I started to pray, and I've always come to Christ to pray, and I just at that point something just happened, and my life chart changed completely. So I don't know what to do from here.
Yeah, well, thank you for being so transparent, particularly on the air. That's not an easy thing to do. But here's what I would say. The first step is always in these circumstances to put on the full armor of God. Because when you do, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. And certainly you're in a situation where you're facing spiritual warfare. And the power in spiritual warfare is always with God. In other words, the emphasis is with God's power to protect rather than Satan's power to pillage. And that's why the Apostle Paul gives us an opportunity to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So by putting on the full armor of God, we can stand, and after we have done all, to stand firm. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we learn to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and so forth. And I've written about that in a little book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And I'd be happy to send that to you as my gift, by the way, so that you can read it, but more than that, so that you can apply it to your life. But a further point that I would make in this regard is the importance of being connected to a healthy, well-balanced church, because it's in the church that you can grow, that you can receive the graces that will keep you from being a pawn in a devil's game. You can't do that outside the church. As has been well said, you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. So I think it's very important to get into a healthy, well-balanced church. In terms of the actual specific contextualization of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is the passage that you allude to with respect to a great delusion, this is not written to you, it is written for you, but it's written about false prophets who took advantage through their propagation of false prophecies in an epoch 2,000 years ago. And because many failed to commit themselves to truth, which is the first part of the armor of God, God sent them a deluding influence. And the passage, of course, parallels 1 Kings chapter 22. But in your particular condition, I don't want to go on talking about that, except to say that we need to take advantage of the means of grace that are available to us. And again, I've written about that in two different places, my book, The Covering, and a book called Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. So if you hang on, I'll have someone talk to you and get those resources out to you as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, two Canadian listeners from Vancouver. He's listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Yes, sir. Hank, as you know, obviously, abortion on one hand is murder, but on the other hand, when you look at the bigger picture, clearly abortion has saved and will save millions of people from eternal perdition. So I would like you to kind of comment on that, those two aspects.
Yeah, well, I think we have to be very careful not to fall into consequentialist ethic in which the end justifies the means. In fact, the Apostle Paul warned against doing evil so that good might result in Romans chapter 3. And I think furthermore, it's very important to recognize that to live this life is not inconsequential. Every person that is given the opportunity of life is also given the opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. And that's no small thing. In fact, this is one of the reasons I've been promoting a book this month as a resource of the month called Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. In this book, there's an incredible chapter that's titled Living the High Life, Enjoying True Immortality. And it talks in one of the parts about the reason that we wish to stay alive. There's an important reason that we live this life. And to abort a child is the taking away of the purpose and the significance that their life can have. I mean, imagine if Einstein was aborted, or imagine if the Apostle Paul were aborted, or imagine if I were aborted or you were aborted. That takes away the opportunity of living a consequential life. I think the other part of this is that, as I've said many times, abortion is painful. It's the painful killing of an innocent human being. So it is a direct assault on God, who creates people as icons of himself and creates them each to have a meaningful life and a purpose. And so that purpose not only is a purpose which allows that person to grow more and more godlike in this life, but also more and more godlike in the life that is to come. So why should we even fathom the idea that we're going to take part of that away from them? In other words, the present part, as opposed to that which will happen in the future. We're designed so that we can take advantage and have the opportunity to fulfill ourselves in both aspects, both the present life and the life that is to come. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the resource of the month, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It by Clay Jones. It is an incredible resource. That, of course, is why it is the resource of the month. If you don't have a copy, yours available for your support. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Immortal by Clay Jones is about the fear of death, about how humans outside of Christ, and all too often even those in Christ, feebly try to manage that fear, and about how you, dear Christian, can overcome the fear of death through developing a robust appreciation of the glory that awaits all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.